It takes a lot for Dave to be able to do that. And I was assured by Kim that she would make sure he behaved himself so that he would be able to stand and do that. Usually by 6 o'clock at night, Dave is wore out and his back hurts so bad he can't stand up. So we gave strict orders to Kim, and Kim said, I'll make sure he does nothing all day so he can come. So I'm glad he was able to come and share with you, and I know that no doubt he did well with that. But as we get back into our study, and again, I love going through the books. I love going through them slowly, because we learn so much more about not only what God has for us, but I think we learn about the man who God used to write it. And to me, that's more, almost as exciting, because it allows me hope to think that God can use me. Because Solomon was just a man. And Solomon was a man who did it wrong, and God still used him in a mighty way. And so to me, that's exciting. I'm not sure, maybe y'all better, more perfect than I am, but I do make mistakes. I make a lot of them. And yet I know with God's grace, I can still be used by him. And so I love studying the books, because you get the heart of the man. And so when we see Solomon, and we left last time we were together studying this, we left in chapter 2 with verse 17. And we talked about Solomon coming to a point in his life after he looked through all the things that he had done. Beginning, we went through verse 12 to 17, and basically he told himself, behold the wisdom, the madness in verse 12, the folly, for what can man do that cometh after the king? And basically he was telling his own testimony, and he was saying, these are all the things that I accomplished, these are all the things that I've done. And maybe you know some individuals. I know some individuals who love to put certificates up on the wall. You know, they plaster all over, and they love to sit in front of them. And then you walk in, or you know the individuals who have all these acronym letters behind their name, and they think that makes them a little bit more intelligent. I just think it makes them more broke, because they had to pay for all the college. But anyway. When you see all that kind of stuff, there are some individuals who like the accolades. They just love the ability to for people to look at them and think that they've got this all together. Solomon had more than any man I've ever known. Solomon had more wisdom than any college education than anybody ever can acquire. He had more riches. He had more wealth as far as land. And he had absolutely everything. And he still said in verse 17, I hated life. And we looked at that and we sort of talked about that a little bit, because there's a lot of people that I associate with and you associate with that hate life. It's not that they hate it life to end it. They hate the life they're living. And that's the tone that Solomon's coming from. He hated the fact he spent all his efforts and all his time into acquiring nothing. And so he hated the life that he had lived. And so understanding that, he's going to springboard off of that when we get into this next section, and he's going to give some good reasons why. So the first thing we find in this realm of verses 18 and following, Solomon says, and yeah, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. Basically, what he's saying here is the first point in this is that all the labor, all the fruits will be squandered by someone else. So we understand that in this way. How can I bring that into our understanding? Well, basically, what he's saying is, I hated all the things I had toiled for. All the things that I acquired, I hated them because they were taking place of something greater, something more important. And as hard as I worked for it, I know that I'm not taking it with me. Somebody else is going to enjoy it. We call that an inheritance today. But you know, Solomon had a point here, because what Solomon was saying is that he hated his toil because someone else is going to understand it. Interesting enough, again, he says it's completely meaningless. Verse 19, and who knoweth whether he shall be wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also meaningless, vanity. It's also foolishness. Solomon said, in all my wisdom, I'm the one who invested it. I'm the one who worked for it. I'm the one who acquired it. And I love the phrase in verse 19, and who knoweth whether he shall be wise man or a fool? What will make that person either or? What makes him a wise man? What makes him a fool? And basically, a person who doesn't work for what they have, I'm going to put a high percentage of 95% or higher, become a fool. Because if you didn't work for it, you didn't earn it, you don't keep it. You spend it, you get rid of it. Now, that's proven by the lottery winners, right? You ever hear those stories? They win all this money in the lottery, and within a year or two, they're absolutely broke begging because they didn't earn it. They didn't work for it. It's free money, and therefore, when I get free money, I'm going to spend it. That was the mindset of our leadership. It still is the mindset of our leadership. We give them all the free money, they'll spend it, you know, jumpstart economy, ruin our economy, all that kind of stuff. And so we realize Solomon, listen, the wisdom of Solomon needs to be sent to our leadership because what they're doing is exactly what Solomon was afraid of. If they don't earn it, they're going to become the fool. The wise men, basically, as Solomon said, because he said that in the latter part of verse 19, I have labored, I showed wisdom, I earned it, but somebody else is going to get it. Therefore, everything I've earned is meaningless. Everything I've earned is nothing. Now, Solomon doesn't say to live as a minimalist, that you have nothing. You have as Scripture says in Proverbs, we are to be like the ants. We are to be stockpiling. And if you're like me and Kim, the house is built on a massive anthill. The whole hill is an anthill. I mean, it's just ants everywhere. And you always see them coming and going, and they're carrying things, or, you know, it's just crazy. They never stop. Because they're surviving, and they stockpile, and they prepare, and God used them as an illustration for us. So I don't think Solomon's saying, you know, don't stop living. Don't stop being wise with what you have. You've got to survive. You've got to have some things in order. But I think what Solomon's saying, if we pick it back up from the concept of verse 17, that he hated his life because he put his whole life into it. There was no balance. Solomon said, everything I did for the stuff. I didn't do it for any other reason. So that balance that we find, I think, is what Solomon got completely out of whack. So we go into verse 20 and 21. It says, therefore I went about, caused my heart to despair for all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and equality, yet to a man that hath not labored, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity of great evil. Verse 22, he begins to pick up the efforts and how worthless they are. For what hath a man of all his labor and of all the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? And it's a question in view of everything he just said. He now looks at it in view of all the things that will rust. New Testament says that all the things that the moths and the rust will destroy, that men work for. And boy, that's coming even sooner and sooner. You buy something today and it's actually built to destroy itself in a short order. Real quick, I had a motor off of a saw one time. I took it down to Kevin, who works on the bushings and the inner parts of the generator, the motor, and asked him if he could repair it, and he laughed. He says they have engineers that sit down and count the revolutions of that motor to make sure it doesn't turn too many times before it breaks. There's nothing inside to fix. And it's like, well, thank you. Instead of fixing things, they have to make you buy new ones. And that's the world we live in. But Solomon's saying here, in view of how things are not permanent, he now comes to the fruits and a man's labor. What is important in a man's labor under the sun? What is it? What is there? Comparable. And this is very important that we bring this home very harsh, because we are people who work for things. We all are. I am. We all are. We work for things. I love to have toys. I love to have things that go bang. I love to have things. And so we work for those things. But Solomon said, you know, I'm sitting down in my life and I'm looking about all the things I have. For what? For what? And I'm like, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that. And Solomon begins to say, in the final analysis, in the final mindset, in verse 22 and 23, verse 23 says, for all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not a rest in the night. Why? Because at night our brains don't shut down. We can't sleep because we're worried about accomplishing something the next day or what we didn't accomplish that day. And we are working our way into a frizzy. And we got to take things to go to sleep. We got to take things to wake back up. We have to work twice as hard to gain twice as much of nothing. You know, everybody says, you know, our paychecks stay the same, but all the inflation of the world goes up and up and up. You know, that causes you to work harder and harder, which goes against Scripture. It's the world. Who is running the world? God ultimately, but he has given the domain over to the one who wants to destroy you, to Satan. And so inflation will go up. Have you ever thought about Satan rolling inflation? We need to think more about that. It's not the men in charge. It's the God of this world who wants to destroy mankind. So we're going to work harder. We're going to work harder and harder and harder for less and less and less. And that's exactly what Solomon comes as. Final analysis simply says that the real reality, the result of all this, is a lot of painful labor and restless nights for nothing. I wish I could just take that verse and say, okay, I'm going to sleep very well tonight. But that probably won't happen because there's tons of things I got to accomplish yet. And so when we see this, because the next phrase is this, is where the transition of the whole book comes. And if we get nothing but these two verses, when we go into verse 24, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, that he should make his soul enjoy good his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. So now Solomon says, no, wait a minute. Instead of working so hard and stockpiling for some foolish young child of yours or grandchild of yours to foolishly spend it all, that's your inheritance, by the way. Instead of doing that, enjoy life every day. Spend some of that moldy money that's stockpiled. Enjoy life. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to be wise with all this stuff. I thought we were prepared for all this stuff. Interesting enough, when you take God's perspective on what it means for you and I to prepare, go back to the wilderness. How far ahead were the Israelites to prepare for? What did God tell them to do? When the manna came down from heaven, they were to eat and fill their belly, but take nothing for tomorrow. Nothing. Why? Because God said, I'll give you what you need tomorrow. Man, we are so far off course on that. I am so far off course on that. And so what Solomon is now saying is, listen, enjoy the day. Verse 24, there's nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink. And what that concept means in Scripture is basically it's a metaphorical way of partaking. Enjoy what you have. Don't stockpile for a tomorrow that you may never have. Enjoy what you got today. Take time to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to just relax. I'm going to go fishing tonight, or I'm going to ride a bike tonight. Sorry, Randy, I looked right at you and thought a bike. I'm going to do these things. Why? You're enjoying life as you live it. And I think that was Solomon's problem. He was so concerned about living a life, stockpiling all he could, that he lost the joy of the day. And that, I think, is what Solomon's referring to. You got to keep the joy of the day. You got to be able to live, enjoy what you have. Don't work so much for something else that somebody else may enjoy. So it's very important as we put this through this, because the find satisfaction in our work, we need to enjoy it as we are working, not waiting. I can't tell you how many people I talk to every day that thinks retirement is absolutely a lie, because it's not fun and it doesn't work, and all their dreams are busted on one event, one fall, one crazy thing coming into their life. And yet how many of us all our life are working for retirement? Can't wait to retire. And it's like, what are you waiting for? Go on vacation now. Go spend some of that stuff. Enjoy life as you're living it. And that's the exciting part. You know, the problem is most people don't do that until they've gone through a tragedy in life and God reevaluate our priorities in life. That's when we think, you know what? Why am I waiting? Why am I saving? And again, you got to have balance in this, okay? Don't go home and say, well, you know, the preacher said I can empty out my 403 and I can just go have fun. No, I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not saying that. But as you live life, enjoy today. Don't wait, because tomorrow somebody else is going to enjoy it for you. Somebody else is going to live it for you. Man, if we could bring that joy, and that's what he's saying in that verse 24. There's nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, bring the joy. Because why? The end of that verse 24. This also I saw that was from the hand of God. God came into this world to fulfill or to fill our... Finish the verse. What did God come into this world to fill? Our joy. Y'all need to read your New Testament. He came to fulfill our joy. Why? So with Christ in us, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about all that. Plan for it, prepare for it, be wise in it. But enjoy today. Enjoy the life today. And I'm going to tell you, that's exciting to me to be able to see, because what he goes on to say in verse 25, and we're going to finish here with verse 26 and then end of the chapter tonight. But in verse 24, it says, you know, it should be a joyful soul in his labor, because that comes from the hand of God. Verse 25, for who can eat or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? What's Solomon saying? How do we put that in what we would understand today? Who can have everything more than me? Solomon says, there ain't no richer man alive than me. There is no man alive that has more land, has more cattle, has more wives, has more money, has more everything. Nobody. And I could really, really, and this, I don't want to be reverent to the word of God, I could really, really throw a pretty big party. I could really have our whole city have a nice time. And I want to put that into perspective, because it's okay by the hand of God to enjoy the hard work. It's important to enjoy the fruits of your labor. But verse 26 puts it into perspective. For God giveth to a man that is good, and in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, and may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So when we see this, it's interesting, because what he is saying here, he now splits us up into two groups. Everybody works, but there's a group of, as scripture stated in verse 26, giveth to a man that is good in the sight of wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner. So there's two groups of people, those who know Christ and those who do not know Christ. And everybody's working, but the perspective of those two people are different. Because as we look at the first one, Solomon states that God's basically a giving of wealth, if we could put it that way, or the enjoyment of one's labor and the fruits are based on whether a man pleases God or not. If we're working to please God, if we're doing it for the favor of God, then God says, man, go enjoy what you got. Go enjoy it. But the other group listed, kind of interesting, he also mentions there a sinner. It's clear that the man who pleases God and the sinner are two separate groups. And in that separate group, that man, that sinner, basically, as we see that, it's not talking about future judgment. It's not talking about future reward, as in store up your treasures in heaven. It's not talking about that. It's talking about earth. It's talking about those who serve God and those who joyfully please God in what they do. And what that means is that when we go to work, you're not going for the employer. You're not going for the paycheck. You're going to glorify God in everything you do. Colossians 3:23. For the audience of one, do all that you do in the pleasing of God. All for the audience of one. That's my phrase. I've used that so many times, and I even actually have that in my emails, my address that I send back, the signature, Colossians 3:23, for the audience of one. Because that's what we need to be doing our life, living our life for the audience of one, doing it for the glory of God. And then God says, I'm gonna allow you to work, and I'm going to allow you to gain fruits for your work. Enjoy them, because you're glorifying me as you work. You're glorifying me as you enjoy the fruits of your labor. But for the other guy, but for the sinner, what's the scripture say? He giveth travail to gather and to heap up. Basically, he's going to work hard all his life, and it's going to hurt. And he's going to gather up, and he's going to store up, and he's going to put it all in perspective. And as he heaps up, that he may give to him that is good before God, it's also meaningless. You see, there's two aspects, two processes that we go to. And what I like about this, again, is talking about on earth, and that's, to me, is an important part as we see this. Because as he wrote that the judgment would take place on this life, not in the afterlife, it involves the temporal, not the permanent. So, you know, I'm not saying that God is going to, you know, if I work hard and God, I'm going to do it for you, he's going to bless me with $1 million. God probably knows if I get $1 million, I'm probably going to waste half of it. At least I hope I don't. But most people, when they get that instant money, they go after the toys. They go after the stuff. Solomon already said that stuff's no good. What you have, enjoy. Work hard for what you get. Enjoy it every day. But do it in the glory of God. Please God. And God will make sure every day you get the manna. He will make sure every day you get what you need. And sometimes he'll even bless you with a little bit more. So that you can enjoy life this side of heaven. I'm telling you, we're caught up in this, I don't know, vortex of, I've got to be working. I've got to make a living. I've got to have a stockpile. I've got to have all these things. And then when you have all these things, you come to an age, or you come to an accident, you come to a disease, you come to something in your life, and you can't enjoy it. Everybody else will. And I think that's what Solomon's saying. And so for me, I think it's very important, because the key part of all of this, it's like an umbrella transition now. All of this is the fruits of our labor. God has given us ability to work, ability to gain, ability to have. Please God, and you will never be without the joy. You can have all kind of stuff, and we're living in a world that is truly trying to find joy in the midst of stuff, and it's not working. It is not working. Suicide rates up. Alcohol, drugs up. Everything is going out, skyrocketing, because they've lost hope in the leadership. They've lost hope in the school system. They've lost hope in the life. They've lost hope in everything, and so they're out there seeking. And here we are just soaking it in and soaking it in and still not loving and living life. Man, we need to be out there living and loving life. There should be no stranger that you ever meet. There should not be one person that you can't talk to. There should not be one person that you can't go and share the love of Christ to. Because that's the work that he really loves. And so, encouraging to me, trust that encourages you a little bit. We'll get into this concept of the basically the seasons and the times that God has. It's a very familiar text. Many funerals read it about a time and a season for things. But the key part of that is that no season, no time, no event changes the plan of God. That's our hope. And that's what we'll look at next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. We thank you for each one that is here that can really just understand that in a perspective. And then I understand in a way that God, you've given us and gifted us abilities. You've given us the energy, the strength. You've given us the gift of work. And God, when we do it to please you, no matter what we're doing, everything that we lay our hands to, God, we ought to do it for you. And when our labor is for you, and we can enjoy the fruits of that every day. And God, I pray that really sinks into our lives and that we begin to live a joyful life to the people around us and not be walking in fear and walking in wonder and walking in a way that is a downer. God, we ought to be the most happiest. We ought to be the most joyful, energetic people that ever walked this earth. Because we have you, and that's all we need. God, I pray that we exemplify that in our life. And because of that, may others see Christ. May they see your Son in our lives. God, we just uplift that to you in your Son's name. Amen.